Appreciate you being here tonight in the service. And appreciate Brother Craddock and his folks from down at Christian's Bend being with us. And everybody that's here, may God bless you for coming. And I hope if you're not saved, that the Lord will speak to your heart. And he will have to speak to you, convict you, draw you. And I hope that happens. And if you are saved, I hope you'll be challenged. This message is kind of a challenging message, I think, or should be, for all the saints of God, as well as those that are not saved. I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts. Now, I've been saying a long time, sinners are not going to get bothered about their sins till saints get bothered about their sins. And sinners are not going to be convicted until saints are convicted. It just works that way. If saints are not bothered, sinners don't get bothered. I've been preaching the Bible 51 years, and it's always worked that way in my meetings. When saints get bothered about the condition we're in, get bothered about our carelessness and coldness and our sins, somehow or another it works on sinners and they get bothered. And so may God help us as Christians to be honest with the Lord and honest with ourselves, because we're going to have to be anyway. And that way we might reach someone that's not saved. And I hope you will pray to that end tonight. Now I'm going to be as brief as I can. And everybody surely that's studied the Bible much is acquainted with Daniel chapter 5. So I'm just going to read one verse and try to bring you a little message the Lord's dealt with the heart about. I'm going to read verse 30. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 30. Daniel chapter 5, verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. I'm trying to preach on the night before doomsday. And I believe we're nearing doomsday for the wicked people, for the world in general. Of course, we who are saved are looking for the day of deliverance. The Lord's going to come for his own. But the world is under the curse of God. And I'm afraid that our nation's under the judgment of God now. I think we're on the first phase of the judgment of God in America, and have been for several years. Now that means we're under the silence of God. God ain't speaking to nobody much. So that's the first phase of the judgment of God, when people is put under the silence of God. If God's not saying nothing to you, that sure is bad. That sure is bad. And I trust God will speak to us. Of course, Belshazzar lived in a worldly time. He lived in a wicked time. He lived in a wealthy time. And the night before doomsday is a time of perversion. Mind perversion. You read this entire chapter here, and Belshazzar was drinking strong drink, and a thousand of his lords, he'd fixed up a big party, and their mind was affected. Well, the Bible talks about the mind in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith. Let me say right here, there's three kinds of reprobates in the Bible. There's reprobates morally, and these folks here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 are reprobates, that is, unto every good work in Titus 1, and here the reprobates concerning the faith. Reprobates means to be void of judgment. It means their minds messed up. And so that's God's channel of getting to the heart through the mind. That's why every man is supposed to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Everybody's responsible, if you can, you're responsible to hear the word of God. The only reason people around this area don't come out here and hear the word of God is because of their own rebellion. Now, we're supposed to go out and talk to them. We're supposed to go out and invite them to come. And that don't excuse our lateness, but everybody's commanded to be swift to hear. Since you can get to where the Word of God's preached, we're commanded to be swift to hear. Since faith comes by hearing, and hearing with the Word of God, you need to get where the Word of God's being preached. You might get some faith. And so we're in a time of mind perversion in this night before doomsday, and moral perversion. And I've been preaching on that almost every time. We're living in a perverted time morally. Whoever thought in America, when I was a boy, and that's been 60 years ago and longer, whoever thought that the time would come that we see them now? Of course, that was before TV, before computers, before internet, before Facebook, before cell phone and iPad and whatever all that is. And before that time, and before we got to so many things to involve ourselves in and get overcharged with all that, when people had time to go to church, had time to pray, had time to read the Bible, had time to be holy. We're living in such a rush now, we don't hardly take time to be holy. Somebody could say amen right there. In a time of moral perversion, when men's after men, women after women, all kind of sodomy and same-sex marriage and perversion like we have never seen before. The night before doomsday is a night of perversion, mind perversion, moral perversion, and message perversion. I mean, you can hear all kinds of things today on radio and television besides the truth. May God help us to preach the truth. Stand for the truth. Praise God for the truth. You're saved tonight because of the truth. He begot us of his own will with the word of truth. Christ is truth. God is truth. The Spirit is truth. The Word of God's truth. If you are saved, you got the truth on the inside. I shout because the Word of God is truth. Hallelujah. God inspired holy men to put pen down the Word of God. And God preserved His Word from that day till now. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God shall not pass away. It'll be here when you got here. It'll be here when you leave here. Everybody's got to face the Word of God here or hereafter. I rejoice that thy Word is when it findeth great spoil. Praise God for the truth. Hallelujah. I found out the truth about myself, the truth about the Savior, the truth about salvation. When I found that out and God put that in my heart, I got saved and redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ, made a new creature in Christ. I've been going to heaven every day over 58 years. I say, praise God. Oh, listen. We believe in inspiration. We believe in incarnation. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe in the resurrection. We believe in salvation. We believe salvation is of the Lord. Jonah learned that in the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of the whale. He learned, if I get out of here, the Lord's got to let me out of here. He couldn't get himself out. I've been trying to tell sinners, you can't get yourself out. You can't deliver yourself. It takes a divine miracle from heaven for you to be delivered. Salvation is a miracle. Amen. A lot of these confused charismatic clowns claim we don't believe in miracles. The greatest miracle God performs today is the miracle of the new birth. God works a miracle, makes a saint out of a sinner. Hallelujah. Washes our sins away, makes us love holiness. We don't love holiness by nature. We love holiness by grace. We want to be holy because of the grace of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which has given us. I say, praise His name. The night before doomsday is the night of pleasure. Not only perversion, but pleasure. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of gospel denying the power thereof. In other words, now it's horse racing, dog racing, car racing, basketball, baseball, softball, football, volleyball, soccer ball, tennis ball, golf balls, and a bunch of goofballs running after it. When people drive 100 miles and pay $50 to get in and sit on a cold bleacher on a cold November night, wrap up in an overcoat and a quilt to watch a bunch of boys running back as if they're faring down the green grass of the field and can't go to church on Wednesday night. They love pleasure more than they love God. You say, my folks are down there. Yeah, if your folks was in the account, they'd be up here in the church house. That's not too rough, is it? Pleasure man. Everybody rushing to pleasure. Now, I'm not against you having some leisure time with your family. I'm not against you having some fellowship time. That goes with it. I'm not some kind of a right-wing dogmatic heretic. And I don't close my mind. We still got a natural body. I understand that. And it's good for church family to have fellowship. But you ain't going to have much fellowship around the world at some kind of game, having pleasure, where they're cussing and drinking liquor. Can't have fellowship down there. I used to play a little music, you know, years ago. And they have a bluegrass festival. Did have that at Jamestown. Fellow said, can you go out there, Brother Mitchell? I said, I could, but I wouldn't. He said, why not? I said, it's the wrong crowd out there. The wrong crowd. I'm not supposed to be around that crowd. I'm not supposed to follow a multitude to do evil. I'm supposed to separate from the world and everything looks like and dresses like the world. Is that okay? I'm not holier than thou. I just can't do that and be right with God. That's okay if I preach that, ain't it? Oh, I know. I can feel that little breeze. I know most people, they don't want you to say nothing about sin. They want you to tiptoe through the tulips. They're afraid Sister Broadmouth will get upset. And she'll take a crowd and leave the church if you're not careful. If you upset her, well, just be still and hear the word of God and go to altar and repent of your low-down sin, and God will put the love in your heart and make you love righteousness. Ain't that so? Night of pleasure. Pleasure. And you know, we just run to more lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Some can't have some pleasure. But it's not all right to love pleasures more than you love God. Not right to put pleasure in first place. It's okay for you to take a vacation. Some folks like 3 or 4 vacations a year. Be gone 2 Sundays. From church. Now, some people hunt up a church to go to when they're away from church, their home church. And some folks don't. It don't bother some people to miss church. One fellow said, it don't bother me. I said, didn't mean till I got saved. When I got saved, it bothers me. It bothers me to miss church. A lot of people's not bothered. You know what I've been saying? If you're not bothered, you better be bothered. We better be bothered that we're not bothered. Now, the night before doomsday is a night of prosperity. Last day was a day of prosperity. Eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. They wasn't poverty stricken in Sodom. Noah's day was a day of prosperity. There's planting and building, buying and selling, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Had a lot of prosperous things. Listen, prosperity's about killed us. Now, I like all these convenient things. Don't misunderstand me. I got a nature just like you got. But you know what? We had more power with God when we had to walk to the church house. One way you could tell revival 60 to 70 years ago, one way you could tell revival's coming, you could see a whole crowd walking home from church down the country road, having fellowship with one another, and they'd bury the hatchet. And listen, I've seen them hug necks and go across the building and hug somebody's neck over there and drop all their bitterness and their anger and their grudges and get right with each other. Then the power of God moved. Now, you don't have any of them here, but I've been in places where people hold grudges against people right at the same church. And they don't like it's okay. Say, well, they done me wrong. Reckon they done Jesus wrong? Reckon they spit in his face? Reckon they whipped him at the whipping post? Nailed him to a cross, drove spikes in his hands, crowned him with thorns? You know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You got to have a forgiving spirit to live right before God. To be right with God, you got to forgive folks. Amen. And listen, you forgive them without them asking when you get right with God. They don't have to ask you to forgive. Bitterness will kill you physically and it'll kill you spiritually. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. And so that's what we're supposed to do. Listen, Belshazzar lived in a day of prosperity. You can read back there that they drank wine. They drank and having a drunken party. Drinking wine, and they praised the gods of gold and silver and iron and brass and wood. In other words, they praised idol gods. Do you think we're living in a time when folks are praising idol gods today? Now, we wouldn't bow down to a golden calf, but we might worship a TV star, a movie star. We wouldn't think about bowing down like the Buddhists do, but it's just as bad to worship an entertainer as it is to worship a golden calf. Idolatry is just idolatry. That's all you can make out of it. Listen, when you spend 5 or 6 hours before your television of a day and don't spend 5 or 6 minutes in the Word of God, you're an idolater. I'm walking real slow there. It's become an idol to us. Computers and internet's become an idol. I know a preacher set up to 2 and 3 o'clock at night on the internet and wonder why they don't have a message on Sunday morning. That's why you don't have a message. And you can't get your message from the internet. You can get some thoughts from somebody else if they're the right kind of thoughts. But if you get a message from God, you got to get it from God. So you have to watch. Whatever you give the most time to, that is your God. Whoever you spend the most time with, that is your God. May God help us to see that it was a time of prosperity. A night of prosperity. But it is a night of pleadings and no avail. In Noah's day, I think the Bible is silent on that. But I think Noah, the long-suffering God, waited. God told Noah he's going to destroy the earth. I think Noah, since he was a preacher of righteousness, I think he was pleading with people. I think God called preachers today are pleading with people to do right. Pleading with people. I think God is still pleading with people today. Yes, I believe he is. And I think this is the night of pleading. Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. A prophet prophesied about the Lord's coming, or 10,000 of his saints. And I think he pled with people to no avail. And I think even today, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, you can read it. I counsel thee, talking to the church here, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know what I think he's saying there? Some church members are not getting chastised. So he's challenging the church there and saying, if you were without chastisement, then you're not a child of God. You need to be zealous and repent. If you can get by with your sin and God don't bother you, that's a bad sign. Because every son that God receives, he chastens every one of his. What about you? You undergoing any chastisement anytime? Does God bother you when you don't do his will? You know, God chastens those he loves. Now, that don't mean he don't love everybody. That means he loves us in a particular manner. Now, I have to go with that all the time. We've had so much general love preached to us. That's about all we've had the last 50 years, is God loves everybody, and God wouldn't hurt nobody, and God just wants everybody to know all about everything. The only thing with that, it's not so. Now, God does generally love the world, but he particularly loves us. Now, I've got to say it this way. There's no lie, no to say it. My cornfield way. Us men love all women, but not like we do our bride. We got a particular love to our bride. Ain't that right? We love all of them. But God loves the world, generally speaking, but God set his love upon us. Christ loved everybody when he died, but Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's just what it says. Somebody said, well, you think God loves everybody the same? Don't sound like it there. You figure it out. Somebody said, well, if God loves everybody the same, why didn't he get somebody else over there when he went and got Abraham? I said, you'll have to talk to him about that. Listen, the night before doomsday, it's a lot of pleading to no avail. And I wonder if we'd listen carefully. God said, Christ said to the church, not the world, the church, those that are in the organized church here, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. See, they said we're rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. That's the Laodicean church. That's the condition we're in now. That's the condition the church world generally is in now. Rich, increased with goods, and as far as we know, we have need of nothing. He said, you know what he said? He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. In other words, you think you're rich, but you're poverty stricken. You don't know the condition you're in. He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. In other words, you can be rich with God. Then he commanded them to be zealous and repent. The last message of the church is repentance. That's the last message of the church. Repentance. I don't know how preachers can preach 6 months and never mention repentance. Many preachers don't even believe in repentance. They make fun of me all over the country and say that I'm preaching works for salvation by preaching repentance. And repentance is acknowledging you can do no works. Repentance is acknowledging to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit that your works is as filthy rags. You can't do anything to please God but repent, and you can't repent until God breaks your heart and gives you effective call in your spirit and breaks your will, and you acknowledge you can't help yourself. That's why you got to buy of him gold, trying to find that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. I think it would amaze us, and I'm not judging anybody, I'm going careful here. I think it would amaze us to know how many church members in 2015 is not saved. Now, I think they've had an intellectual stirring. I think they've had an emotional stirring. But I don't think their will has ever been broken. We've exalted man's will and humanized God and put God down on man's level and raised man up to God's level till man thinks he's okay without a broken heart. I think that's right. Now, listen, this is the night of pleading. It's the night before doomsday is a night of powerlessness. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, the form the church world goes through is a godly form without any power. How long has it been since we've been able to see a sinner, brokenhearted, crushed by the power of God, coming down the aisle, making his way down the altar, falling on the mercy of God? How long has it been? How long has it been? How long has it been since we've been, you know, when I first began preaching, I never will forget this, 3 or 4 nights you could preach, church would get stirred and get an altar, go to praying and hugging necks and shouting and rejoicing in the Lord. Sinners would get broken. I've seen them when they couldn't make it down here. They'd get down between back there and up here and crawl on down. One boy I'm thinking of, he started out and fell out on the floor. You know, wasn't none of this show-off stuff. His old-time conviction. Went home and flushed all of his drugs down the commode and started preaching, been preaching ever since then. That's been 45 years ago. Don't tell me it won't work. I know it will work. When the real power gets on the scene, you'll see sinners made new, and you'll see saints of God get renewed in their spirit, and we'll have a move of God, and we'll have one heart and one soul and be in one accord if we have revival. But we'll never have it till we acknowledge we need it. The night before doomsday is a night of powerlessness, a night of pretense. Judgment's about to fall in Sodom now. Angels went down to deliver Lot and his family. Lot was a just man. That's pretty hard to see. Living out of the will of God 20 years, raising his family among the Sodomites. Two of his daughters wrapped up, married Sodomites down there. He lost his wealth, lost his testimony, lost his family. Went over there and tried to talk to his daughters and sons-in-laws, and seemed as one that mocked. Angel had to get a hold of him and started out of Sodom with him. Couldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. and said, don't look back now. Keep on going. Get out of here. Don't look back. But his wife was a pretender. Lot's wife was, now Lot was a just man. But his wife was a pretender. Here's a pretender married to a just man. Living all those years pretending. Someone said, why does she look back? That's where her heart was. If your heart's out there, you're going to look back out there. Wherever your heart is, that's where you're going. Now, you might get messed up as a Christian for a space of time. You might get sidetracked and sidestep the will of God, but you can't stay there. You might get in the sand, but you can't live there. Holy Spirit's on the inside. You're so miserable when you're out of the will of God and you're messed up. You can't even stand yourself. You got to get back to the cross. Is that so? That's always been my experience. I've had a lot of bad days. We call bad days cold times. I think I've been cold as anybody spiritually through these years. I've had trouble just like everybody else. I've seen the time when I was just in such bad shape, I didn't feel saved at all. I could just barely get to the church house. That didn't go all the time. Just barely get on the back seat. Didn't feel anything. So messed up and so missing the will of God, I was just all messed up. After a while, somebody got to singing in the Spirit. Somebody got to praying in the Spirit. Somebody got to testifying in the Spirit. Somebody got to preaching in the Spirit. First thing you know, I felt saved again. If you're saved by the grace of God, you get around where the atmosphere is right, you're going to feel the joy bells ringing down in your soul. If you're saved, I believe that. One fellow told me in a meeting one time, he said, well, I didn't feel anything. I said, well, you probably don't have anything. If the Spirit of God's a blessing people, you don't feel anything, you better be checking up. Lot's wife was a pretender. You know, the Holy Ghost took a whole verse over there. Luke 17 said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. What do we want to remember about it? Remember that she made effort to get saved and didn't get all the way out. Remember she got a message direct from heaven through the mouth of an angel. Remember she didn't die with the Sodomites. Remember, she made an effort. She was separate from the Sodomites, but looked back and yet went to hell. Remember Lot's wife. She's a pretender. The night before doomsday is a night of pretense. Pretense. God help us to be right and honest, not be a pretender. Not be a pretender. Let's don't pretend. Let's be what we are by the grace of God. The night before doomsday is the night of provision. It's getting night, fixing to rain, fixing to come a flood and destroy everything where the rest of life was. But there was provision made for one family. I know we're in the night before doomsday, and I believe the doomsday is coming. When I study the scriptures, I think everything's going kindly according to the plan. I believe we're nearing the Antichrist system set up. I believe what's happening right now, even with Iran, which is old Persia, Russia and Iran's getting together, Turkey will be involved, Germany will be involved, all those nations, the Middle East nations over there are getting ready now, and there's going to be a last attempt down there after the church is gone, and they want to destroy and annihilate Israel. The Antichrist stage has got to be set. Everything's got to be ready. About the time everything's ready and the thing falls apart. Did you know we're falling apart? Did you know this country is coming apart to seams? Did you know it's impossibility, humanly speaking, for this country to be restored? Now you think about it. When you go as far as we've gone, morally, spiritually, every other way, when you go as far as we've gone mentally, it's impossible, humanly speaking, for it to be restored. Now, I know all these guys claim they can fix it. They've been claiming that for years, and it's been getting worse all the time. What's happened, I think, now, the stage, the world stage, is set for the Antichrist. And I think the world has to be ready for the Antichrist. I think the stage has to be set. Everything's got to be in place. That's why we're seeing all this high-tech communication. We're all hooked to one another in the world. That's the only way the Antichrist can reign. Now, I've been saying this for years. The Antichrist can't reign in the Middle East as long as America's a superpower in the West. So America's got to go down. And that's where she's headed now. Heading down. That's why all the morals broke down like it is now. That's where we're under the frown of God now. Listen, you better run for mercy while the door's open. You better run while the gospel's still being preached. While the church is still here. While the door's still open. Provision is made. Though it's night time. It's night time in the church. It's night time in the world. We're on the brink of destruction. But the door's still open. The Spirit of God's still calling. The gospel's still going out. Provision's been made for you. If you'll heed the call. Jesus reconciled the world to himself. But he told you and me to be ye reconciled to God. In other words, you got to appropriate his work by faith to your heart. Now, I think that's right, ain't it?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass on them. Let me tell you just a minute here. In other words, God on the cross, God took the world's sins, placed them on Christ, and satisfied God for the sins of the whole world. Reconcile the world. That's how God can look at the world tonight. As wicked as it is, he can look at it in mercy and compassion because Christ satisfied justice for the sins of the world. Then he turned around and said, after the reconciling work's been done, now then we're ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador's one that's not, he's in the country where he's not a citizen, with a message, terms of peace. So now then we're ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. In other words, we're trying to say what God would say if God was saying it. That's what Paul's saying. That's what Paul's saying. You know what it was? Be ye reconciled to God. Now he said in verse 19, the reconciling work's been done. Then he turned around and tells the world to be reconciled. And here's how you do it. Verse 21, for God hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God in him. So now, if you will come to the cross by faith and appropriate the redemption work of Christ on the cross to your heart, you'll be friends with God. That's what reconcile means. In other words, the sinner's God's enemy. God's not the sinner's enemy. The sinner's God's enemy. But he can be reconciled. Provision's been made for you to be reconciled to God and be back on friendly terms with God. You know what God did? God put it down on the bottom shelf where folks like me could reach it. You know, God put it down. It's not complicated. It's just as simple as God could make it. Christ come to the world and died for sinners. You're the sinner. He's the Savior. You take your place as a sinner. He's already took his place as a Savior. When you come to the Savior in repentance and faith, God will reconcile you to himself and give you the new birth, make you a new creature in Christ, and you'll be washed in the blood. I think that's the way it is. Don't you think so? How many folks are saved tonight? You saved? Lift up your hand real high. You ought to give the Lord a good wave. Praise God. I couldn't see everybody, but I wonder if there's some here that's not reconciled. Can you understand? Has God opened your understanding enough to see that Christ did on the cross everything need to be done to satisfy God for you? Can you see that? Can you see if you'll come to God through Christ in repentance and faith? That's why we're saved by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Grace. Grace provides salvation. Faith applies salvation. See, the hard shells is just wrong here. These sovereign grace preachers, they call themselves. They say God just picked out this number over yonder. They go over to the Old Testament and pervert some of them Old Testament scriptures, talking about an elect nation. It won't fit in the church age at all. When Jesus died at the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, the middle wall partition was broke down, the gospel was preached to everybody, first time in the history of the world after Christ died. And we, and our message to the world is, be ye reconciled to God, for Christ did the reconciling work. Now you appropriate it to your life, and you'll be saved by the grace of God and become a child of God.
Amen.
I think tonight, probably, I think this is so, there's probably people in here tonight, and God's enlightened you enough They'll shine enough light in if you just do what you need to do. And the reason we give invitations to come down here, if you'd acknowledge publicly that you need a personal Savior, you could get saved back there. I've seen people get saved. I preached down close to New Orleans one time on saved by your good looks. Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be you saved. If you get a good look at the cross, you'll be saved. This old boy come down after I stepped down. He come down and I shook his hand. I said, you want to get saved? He said, I just did. I said, where'd you get saved? He said, back under the seat. You said if I'd look at the cross, he'd save me. I looked and he did. Salvation's a heartbreak. It's a heartbreak of God. You don't have to come up here unless you refuse to. Whatever you refuse to do, you'll have to do that. But you can look away from your sin, away from yourself, look to the Savior, and get saved right where you are. That's what you need to do. The Lord made it where we can reach it. I'm happy about that, aren't you? But you've got to appropriate that work. That's an act of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We stand justified in grace by faith. Romans 5:1-2. You got to exercise faith. God gives you faith, then you exercise faith. Have you got enough faith to exercise in Jesus Christ? It takes a little. It just takes enough to know that you're the sinner, he's the Savior. You're going to die in your sin, he died for sin. He said, come unto me, you come unto him, and the work's done. May God bless you. Let's bow our heads for a closing prayer. They'll come with a song. Appreciate your prayers. Is there somebody here tonight? You're touched in your heart. Your spirit's been touched. You know that you need to be saved. You're not saved, but you would like to be saved. You're interested, and I'm not trying to trick you, and I'm not going to put no pressure on you. Would you lift your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Mitchell. Pray for me. I don't want to die in my sin and go down to a lost world, hell forever. Anybody here need prayer? Anybody here? God bless you. I see that hand. God sees your heart. I appreciate that so much. Heaven's bending low tonight. Call's going out. Jesus is pleading for you. Somebody else lift up your hand. Oh, may God help you to be judgment day honest tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed even before they sing. Christians, are you praying? Are you praying? Pray that God will deepen that conviction. You that know you need to get saved, why don't you just get up out of your seat? While heads are bowed, Christians are praying, why don't you just come on down here and take your place as a sinner and be saved? And that'd be the best move you ever made in all your life. Be the best thing that ever happened to you. Is to become a child of God tonight by faith in Jesus Christ.